The after party starts
right now. Power up suits and welcome into another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as usual in this after party affair, is the one and only Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's up, my man?
Not too much, man. Excited to take a look back, as we have so many things that like are always brand new and shiny. It's always good to look back and find the things that we used to cherish and find out we still do cherish them.
I like how you said we used to cherish. Is that burying the lead a little bit? I don't know.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Find
yeah.
out.
Find out right now. No, I'm with you, dude. We have had so many new and awesome things spoiled for us for MCP lately. I mean, there's some affiliation cards that got leaked out by Atomic Mass Games. You know, we have some new characters that we're going to talk about on the next House Party Protocol episode. So I'm really excited to do all of that. But let's not forget about these characters that have been with us for a while. And let's take a look back at a couple pretty interesting ones in the form of Rocket Raccoon and Groot, the living tree himself. So,
absolutely.
Nate, I'm really excited to talk about these two characters because I think that when these characters first came out and were revealed and everything, they were perceived as characters that kind of needed one another. And I don't know if that rings true anymore.
I definitely think that they still work well together, as I'm sure we'll talk about here in a little bit. But I think we are now more able to easily see the merits of each of them on their own.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair part. So before we get too far into that, I do want to go ahead and let everyone know that we have a new giveaway starting. When you're hearing this, it is on our Facebook page. We have a giveaway tab on our Facebook page now. You can go and check that out. It'll give you a link to the giveaway there. Also, it will be the pinned post on top of our Facebook page. And that giveaway is huge. We're calling it the Massive X-Men versus Brotherhood Giveaway. And what it is you're going to get every X-Men model and every Brotherhood model plus a set of the measurement tools, so your range rulers and your movement tools that are X-Men branded, as well as an X-Men branded template tray, so to store that stuff in. And yeah, so you're going to get all of that stuff as part of a giveaway. We've got multiple ways to enter on there. And if you're a patron, you get some bonus entries through that. So go check that out if you want to check out our Patreon and maybe be extra entered into our giveaway. We would really appreciate that. And yeah, it's just one of those things that we want to do to give back to the community and everything and get some excitement going for the X-Men. The contest will start, like I said, when you're hearing this on Thursday, the 5th, and it will run all the way until December the 2nd, because that's when we've got to call it so we can make sure we get all the entries tabulated and everything. And
tabulated.
Yeah. Yes, tabulated. Much like a current tabulation that is happening in the United States right now, but we're not going to get into that.
Please, let's not.
Yeah, for real. But either way, look, this is the biggest giveaway we've done. I'm really, really excited to do it and get some excitement going. And, you know, everybody before we have had kind of, you know, leave a random comment like our page stuff. And that stuff works great, but it still adds a lot of extra work on making sure that everything gets counted fairly and all that stuff. So we're going with a new system, and I hope you guys like it. I hope it works well for y'all. There's a lot of ways to get entries, which I think it makes a lot more interesting in the long run, and we'll see how it goes. And if we get a good engagement out of this, maybe we'll use this system again. But anyways, Nate, let's dive right into these two Guardians of the Galaxy. What do you say?
Absolutely.
So first up, let's talk about Groot. I think he's the one, the living tree is the one that I want to talk about first. And before playing any games, what did you think of Groot?
I thought he was going to be a chunky boy. From the looks of it, it was just one of those characters that's like, hey, you either need to take him out in one activation, or you're not going to take him out. He is extremely defensive. He's got that really nice healing ability. But outside of that, there wasn't too much to his kit that spoke to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's like kind of a one-trick pony in a lot of ways, in that if you're going to go after Groot, you've got to one-shot him, and the only way to do that is with energy. And really, the only way to do that is with a big energy attack. Like, let's just use Star-Lord as an example, since we talked about him on the last episode. If you just go after him with Star-Lord with a 5-dice energy attack, it seems unlikely that you're going to be able to nuke him. Not impossible, mind you, but unlikely. And if you put, say, 4 damage onto him, I mean, he's just going to heal it up on his turn with the power that he just gained, because why not, right?
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing that I think that can kind of save you if you're going after him is the idea of, okay, if he's still alive, it's still going to be hard for him to get to you, because he does move short, even on that 50 mil base, and both of his attacks are range 2. So I think it's one of those characters that when I first looked at him, I was kind of like, you know, he's just not ever going to leave the table. But once I got some games in, it kind of surprised me just how controllable he really is, and how he's just kind of there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to use him if you're running Guardians. I like Groot. I think Groot can do some good things. And if you can get an I Am Groot attack off, it feels really good. But he just doesn't do a whole lot. He's good for just kind of camping on a spot, which I like. But really what surprised me the most in him is just how pivotal his We Are Groot card is when he's in the match. You know? What about you?
I think this kind of teeters into one of my favorite questions down the road. But his healing capabilities, not just for himself, but for the team as a whole, have definitely kind of helped set him apart as the game has progressed with him. But really, once I started getting him on the table, I completely agree. In some ways, he was more of a liability to his little buddy. Trying to stay close, bodyguard him, also meant that you had a very easy size 3 object to throw at Rocket, and throws are not what that raccoon enjoys.
Absolutely.
So a little bit of liability there. And yeah, no, he's a very slow character, so several instances I found myself, well, I can either attack Groot and get a little bit of damage on him, and then he can either heal it off or maybe get off a big attack. But on the other hand, I could just like throw him away, and he has to waste one, if not both, of his actions just to get back into the fray.
Exactly. And that, I think, is where his utility just kind of, like, if you're going to use Groot, you've got to place him in such a way where he can't be thrown away. Like, he's got to be touching something or something like that. Now, you mentioned the bodyguard for his little buddy. That comes into the Rocket Raccoon discussion. But I do think it's an important one, because Groot, if you're using him to bodyguard Rocket, he literally becomes a size 3 piece of terrain that just gets thrown about. But if you use him in a more one-off, on his own capacity, I think he can do a lot of fun things. And I think that that's where, again, what surprised me is that you think he's just going to be a Rocket bodyguard at first glance, maybe, but he actually can be on his own. And being only 3 threat makes it to where you don't feel so bad if you're having him set on an objective.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what does Groot do well, Nate?
As we've already kind of alluded to, Groot is tanky. There are absolutely instances where if you're able to put two energy attacks into him into a single round, or if he just hasn't had the opportunity to heal himself up from energy attacks. But otherwise, he is a very tanky individual. He's going to take hits, gain power, use that power to heal himself, possibly others. But the other thing that he does really well, and I think it's very underrated, is his root special ability.
Absolutely.
Or superpower that hands out the special condition.
What
and
is
it's
the root?
Just such, it's not a huge impact to every different team out there, but teams that rely on their superpowers a little bit more, looking at maybe the Asgardians, the Avengers, and a couple others out there, this is a huge detriment to the power economy, which is such an important aspect of the game.
Yeah, and the root special condition, it's basically a Loki bubble condition. So it makes superpowers cost one more. And I completely agree with you. What does he do well? Well, he does that little healing, We Are Groot, like we talked about. But the most underrated thing he does is hand out that root condition. It only costs him two power to put that on people, and he can do it as many times as he has power. So it's really nice. It's range three, so his attacks might only be range two, but that being range three, you get him in there, he does that a couple of times, then he pulls off a We Are Groot, and you've got a really, really solid support character. And that, I think, is what Groot does so well, is just play in a support role. Like, you want to get those attacks off. I get that. Like, this game makes you want to do attacks. But I think that Groot as a character is one that if your opponent is attacking Groot, that's a good thing for you. You want them to attack Groot. So, but I mean, you want them to attack Groot in the capacity of you don't want him to get one shot, but you also want him to build up that power so that he can heal, so that he can We Are Groot, so that you can get off the tangling vines, stuff like that. And I think that that kind of stuff is really strong. And then layer onto that, getting in a deadly duo. And we're going to talk about that card more with Rocket, but being able to get all these little extra things off with Groot as a kind of battery for stuff, I think is really what he does well. But he does have some glaring faults. And Nate, let me get your opinion on this, because this is kind of how I look at this. He has what I like to call the Venom problem. Just this thing I came up with right off the top of my head, and we're going to roll with it. So the Venom problem being two energy defense, slow move, right? Now, Venom has some other tools where he can pull people into him with his web snare, which is really strong. Groot doesn't have that, but Groot has a pay-to-heal ability. Well, also, Venom can heal after he gets an attack. So they're not the same character, and they have different toolboxes, but they also have the same weaknesses in that if you can control them or you can take the fight away from them, things kind of spiral out of control for those characters in general. And I think that Groot has a little bit more versatility because of his We Are Groot tactics card and because of his ability to put the root special condition on people than a Venom. But the two energy defense just feels so bad. And with the prevalence of energy attacks in this game, especially now, it's especially brutal, right?
Yes and no. I like Venom's I like Venom's versatility a little bit more than Groot, actually, in several different little aspects. But I guess I don't want to harp on that too much. But
well, I think it's a fair comparison. Like, if you want to talk about that, I think that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, no, I think a better comparison for Groot, at least, is Kingpin.
Okay.
Venom has the ability to pull other people in, costs a little bit of power, it's a shame, but he also has a throw, which, granted, he has to be within a certain range for that throw to matter anyway, but he has a lot of different tools to make him a dangerous threat outside of Range 2, where Kingpin and Groot are a little bit more confined to their short moves and Range 2 bubble. Yes, Kingpin has his cane laser, but Venom has a lot more options at range with his range 3 attacks just across the board and stuff like that. So I would say Groot is a little bit more comparable to Kingpin in my mind, with both of them being a little bit more durability focused. Kingpin doesn't have the weaker energy defense, but that's just a quick random take.
No, I think that that's fair. So with that, though, what do you say, what would you say are Groot's faults then? Other than just that comparison.
Yeah, so with that, it's the short move and his lack of just kind of meaningful board impact against your opponent's characters. He either is going to have to most times probably move short and then maybe get off his big attack, but then if he does the big attack, he's not going to have a lot of power left over for healing or to play some of his special tactic cards. So overall, he just doesn't have a good impact on the board.
I think that is the key point that you made, is that a large board impact outside of, I think that I'm going to put a caveat on that, is outside of his We Are Groot turn and his Deadly Duo turn. Like, he does not have a large impact on the board outside of those turns, but those particular turns when he's able to get those two cards off, you know, in probably different turns, but whenever he's able to do those two things, I think the impact of those two things is huge.
I'll agree with that, with the slight caveat that we are then making Groot a character that is reliant on his tactic cards to make a impact on the board.
Right, and that, I think, is okay in Guardians, not as okay in other affiliations, which we'll talk about when we get to his affiliation discussion. But so I think that basically the overall thing that we're both getting at here is that Groot doesn't make the impact that you want from other three threat characters. Like, there's other three threat characters out there that just do so much, and Groot is kind of limited, I think, in the way that he interacts and stuff. Like, it's not bad. He's not bad. But it's just, you have to go into it understanding what he's going to do. And I think that fitting him into a wide list, which, you know, a many models list, is really where he shines, is when you're able to play that 18, 19, 20 threat game and have 6+ models on the table. Well, then you don't need him to have as big an impact as you would, say, a Zemo or a Valkyrie or somebody like that in just a 4- or 5-man squad. Like, those characters need to have a big impact most of the time.
Yeah, that's fair. But I wish maybe they'd given him a throw or something. Groot definitely seems capable of throwing some terrain around, or maybe even some size 2 characters, to give him a little bit more utility on the board, which is something that Venom and Kingpin do not suffer with their short moves, and the rest of their kit kind of helps fill them out, I guess.
Yeah, and I can totally agree with that. I think that is probably the biggest issue with Groot, is that he doesn't have a throw. Like, if he just had a throw, I think that his utility would be a lot different, and he'd be perceived a lot differently. And speaking of utility, though, where do you think he fits in affiliations? Like, what would you say his top three affiliations are?
I like him in Guardians, obviously. There is a lot of reason to take him and Rocket together. Putting them in the Guardians with Star-Lord's leadership ability leads to that even more so. Oddly enough, I kind of really like him in Asgard, mostly alongside Loki, so that you can kind of play a death and taxes strategy in MCP, where even if the Avengers are able to get their discount, well, the discount really doesn't matter when you're making them pay 2 more for every use of a superpower.
Yeah, that's really, really bad. Death and taxes, that's the list name from now on with that strategy.
So it's a really solid combination there. Groot's a pretty durable character as it is, giving him status removal and additional healing capabilities is also something that he certainly doesn't mind.
Absolutely, I think that's
Outside
good.
of those two, though, maybe in the X-Men with Storm, being able to partake of a decent leadership ability to give him some extra mobility, being able to kind of slingshot him, seems like a pretty decent play. But outside of that, I think those are my three.
Okay, no, I think that's all fair. I obviously Guardians, I think that Groot really shines in Guardians because of their ability to have so many activations on the board, and you can leave him on a secure after you get the deadly duo turn off. You can just leave him on a secure and then build up some power. And when you need to get that We Are Groot off, you just run over there and do it. And We Are Groot, we've talked about it a few times. It's only three power and allied characters within range four remove two damage. And you think, well, that's not a lot of damage that's removing, but at the same time, it's every ally within range four. So if you place it right, you're going to be removing a ton of damage, and including him. So, because he is within range four of himself. So I think that that's really strong. And so Guardians really helps with that. And you mentioned X-Men Gold, and I really agree with that, actually. I think that X-Men Gold would be a good one for him, not just because of the Storm move combo, but I think more so because he would benefit from cover, which I think would be really good unless people get within range two of him. So if they get within range two of him, well, then you're able to hit him back. So I really, really like that. And I think that X-Men Gold, at least what we have right now, is going to lend itself to playing in a large activation list, which, again, I think it kind of fits in with what you want with Groot because, like I said earlier, I don't think that you want him. If you're running a four-man squad out there, I do not think you want Groot in it. Not to say, that's not to say that you can't use Groot in that list. I mean, play what you want, have fun. But if you're trying to be even slightly competitive, I just don't see Groot giving enough in a four activation list. So, with that said, X-Men Gold, I think, is going to play wide. You've got a three cost leader, you've got a three cost beast. You put Groot in there, you could maybe throw in a Taskmaster rogue agent. I mean, like, I think there's a lot of things that you can do to make a really wide, really high activation list in X-Men Gold. And then you mentioned Asgardians, which I think is really interesting, but I also really liked, I like him in Avengers just because the discount of being able to heal and getting the discount of being able to put Root out on people is nice. Like, I don't think that you really, like, I don't love him in Avengers, but I don't hate it either. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. To me, it's just a question of who are you then dropping
Exactly.
in Avengers to put Groot in?
Exactly. And I think that that's the question I have a hard time answering. But I see the play there as being fun more than anything. But what about affiliations that you just absolutely just don't even bother? I mean, would you say all the others? I'm kidding.
I mean, you don't want him in any affiliation that is really reliant on attacking. So the Cabal have to attack and deal damage. Granted, Groot is fairly likely to deal a damage, but most of the time he's also not likely to be getting off a lot of attacks. With that kind of same thought in mind, the Spider Foes, the Black Order, and the Defenders all just kind of check boxes of things that Groot is not great at doing.
That's true. One area where, and I just thought about this, is Web Warriors could be interesting with him. And here's why. Here's why. So Web Warriors, they are a more or less control team, and I've played a lot of them lately, as you know. But I think that they could be interesting with Gwen pulling people into him, Pete pulling people close to him, and then getting those root conditions off and then letting him maybe wreck face. Maybe. I don't love that, but if you're playing on like a kind of, you know, more condensed, secure type thing, then maybe getting him with them could be interesting, but I still don't know if I would love it, but it's something I might want to try.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you put a lot of really cool pieces together to make a puzzle piece that's hard to fit places fit, and it can fit well, but then Gwen is spending her power to exclusively give Groot the chance to attack.
Right.
And that's just kind of a feel bad.
It does kind of feel bad. So with that, now, Nate, what is your favorite question?
Where do you think he has gone since he's been released? Has he gone up, down, or stayed the same?
Honestly, I think he's gone kind of up, just ever so slightly. And that's 150,000% due to the fact that we now have a banned and restricted list. And he has a very powerful healing card. So putting Groot into a list that is a, you know, I've heard some people refer to it as a sustain list. You know, you put all the healing you can into a list and throw Groot in there. And I think that, you know, so not much. Like, I think he was already kind of in that medium low tier as it was, but I think that he might have gotten just the slightest bit of bump because that utility of healing is very strong.
Yep. I'm going to go with a little bit of both. He has gone down in stock just because there are so many other three threat options we have now. And so many of them, in my playstyles at least, I would like to take the other three threat character over Groot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he now also fills a kind of unique slot, especially in the three threat slot, where he has a way to not just heal himself, but the entire team. And so I think he becomes a little bit more of a finesse. Hey, if we are getting clumped up on meteors or we're getting clipped up on the gamma shelter, then Groot seems like a nice little flex character to bring in.
Absolutely. I think that's a very fair take. And real quick for the suits out there, so Nate just said a word that I've used a lot. I know Nate's used a lot. It's finesse. We talk about finesse characters and stuff like that. And let me get you guys' opinion. Send us messages at House Party Protocol Podcast on Facebook. Send us messages on our Discord if you're a patron. Send us messages, email at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. And let us know if you would like us to do kind of a bonus episode, or maybe whenever we don't have a character to go over and we have some extra time, to talk about what makes a finesse character. I think that could be a really interesting discussion. So let us know if that's something that you guys want us to take a look at. And now we can move on to Groot's little buddy, as it were. But before we really dive in to the little buddy, let's go ahead and give you guys the very first secret code for our X-Men giveaway. And Nate, I think we've already mentioned it a few times, but this is the one that makes the most sense, and it'll be Deadly Duo. And what do you think about that?
I like it. I think that makes sense, especially with the combination of characters that we are talking about today.
Exactly. So secret code is Deadly Duo, again, on the giveaway page. Go and check that out. And sorry for the dog bark. And look for the post on Facebook. And on there, you'll see a enter secret code button, and you click on that, type in Deadly Duo, all one word and all caps. So that's important. Deadly Duo, all one word, all caps on the secret code option. And yeah, that should work for you. If anybody has any issues with that, just reach out to us and we'll get it figured out. We'll get it straightened out. So yeah, I'm excited to see how that all works. And now, let's see how Rocket works. Nate, what do you think?
Well, I think my first impression of the little guy was, holy crap, we have a two-threat character that has a range 5, 5-dice energy attack as his strike. and to this day, that is still a standout feature on Rocket's kit.
It sure is, and I'm with you. Like, holy crap, my first impressions were, this guy's just going to stand back there and just be the ultimate turret. Like, we've had characters that we have classified as turrets before, but Rocket, wow, like the ultimate turret. And size 1, so he can stand behind a dumpster and you can't see him.
Yep, but he can still see you.
Exactly, which is insanity to me, and I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. And Nate, what surprised you, though, when you first started playing with him?
So one of the things that you would kind of expect out of this two-threat glass cannon is he's very easy to pick off. He's got some really low defenses. He's only got, I think, 3 stamina on his healthy side.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, man, like I can just put a single attack into him and the rodent's going to fall over. I cannot express how difficult it has been for me to daze or KO that raccoon outside of the use of throws.
100%.
Mostly because he has a guaranteed cover benefit. So even if he's left out in the open, even if he is within range 2, unless he just rolls really bad, he can almost guarantee that one block.
Almost always, and that one block makes a big difference so many times, especially when, okay, so we have the incinerate condition in the game now, but like if he's not incinerated, if he's just rolling normal dice, 2 dice is not good. But at the same time, always benefiting from cover, that means you're rolling 2 blocks fairly regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 100% with you. Getting rid of the damn rat has proven so hard. Oh my God, it's so hard. But like, that's one of the things that surprised me when I first started playing with him was, one, how hard he is to remove, and 2, just how little I actually use his booby traps. Like, I really like that superpower, but I mm-hmm. barely ever use it.
Yeah, it is a really nice one. But I personally have found the Counter-Strike-esque abilities a little bit lackluster. You're usually maybe getting a damage in with it if you roll well. For me, more times than not, it's 0 damage, which is rather frustrating.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, but it's still that's why I barely ever use it, is because I'd rather save up for a Hadron Enforcer attack, which is very good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And so, yeah, I mean, he's a character that can really, really throw out a lot of damage. And that's one of the things that really surprised me when I first got him on the table. And speaking of that, what he does well is throw out the damage, and especially on the Deadly Duo turn. So we've talked about this a couple of times. So Deadly Duo is a card that is unaffiliated. So as long as Rocket and Groot are on the board, you can use this. It's during Rocket Raccoon's activation, if he's within 2 of an allied Groot, both characters spend 2 power, and then Rocket may immediately perform up to 3 plasma rifle attacks, but each attack must target a different enemy character. So, Nate, that's 3 attacks. Now, does this card say anything about it costing an attack?
Nope, it does not cost an attack action whatsoever.
Interesting. So, that says that you can get off, in one turn, 5 dice energy attacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's insanity. That's insanity, and I love it. And that's... So what he does well is the Deadly Duo turn. And if you play Guardians, if you watch people that play Guardians at high levels, or if you've played someone that plays Guardians at a high level, this card and this combo is critical to Guardians' success more often than not. I don't want to kind of put words into high-level Guardians players' mouths per se, but this is something that most Guardians players are going to look to do because it is so strong.
Yep, and in addition to just playing that, they will usually sacrifice a card additionally to be able to give him the Winging It tokens, giving him some form of consistency, because that is one thing Rocket does not have built into his card.
Exactly. That was going to be my next point, is how then they throw away a card and boom, he gets rerolls to really make those five attacks hurt. And after that, usually Rocket kind of doesn't do much. He still stands there and blasts things, but his utility after playing the Deadly Duo card is kind of done in a lot of ways. Like, after that attack, you should expect that he will have a good bank of power on him, so he's a good battery for some tactics cards at that point. But at the same time, it can be nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think he does well, Nate?
I completely agree. I think he is a range 5, shoot a bunch of things, masterpiece of a character. That is the one thing that he is focused on, and for 2-threat, he fits that role really well.
Completely agree. And I got to give this one to Atomic Mass Games in terms of like really capturing what you would have expected Rocket Raccoon to be on the tabletop. I mean, they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
100% nailed it with this character. But what did they nail in terms of his faults, Nate?
He doesn't like large objects falling on him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of that distinguished fault. They kind of got the rodent scurrying around, who's hard to hit, by giving him that access to almost a guaranteed block with cover, with his small stature. But really, outside of that, there isn't a lot to knock against him. And I think that's just because he's a well-made, well-balanced character.
I agree. I think that the biggest fault is that he will keel over with a throw. I mean, just any kind of throw. But I know some people out there say, well, they would rather you have to put all this power and all this resources, activations being part of a resource, actions being a resource, put all these resources into taking out a 2-threat character. And they're happy with that. They're fine with that. And yeah, okay, that's all well and good, but putting all of those resources into getting rid of a character like Rocket makes sense. Because if you don't deal with him, he is going to continue to blast, and that's never good when you get taken out by a 2-threat character like Rocket.
He will at the very least continue to attempt to blast. right. One thing that we have seen with 4 and 5 dice attacks is that sometimes even if you get a double tap off, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to roll well. And that's just kind of part of it. And it's why Rocket needs that consistency so badly from the Winging It tokens for his Deadly Duo turn.
Absolutely. I mean, dice are going to dice no matter what you do. And if you have a Shuri on board with your Guardians team or wherever you have Rocket, that brings some more consistency to it. So I do think that there are ways to improve his consistency, but I definitely am of the mindset of he's a character that, for being only 2-threat, he is a big threat on the board, because even if he's just chipping in 1 or 2 damage a turn, right, to a character, right? Well, if I'm playing Web Warriors, that's 2 damage on a character that has 5 stamina total. That's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge. But if I'm playing Black Order and they have all this invulnerability stuff, well, okay, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So
absolutely.
So I'm not as worried about him. But if I'm playing, like, again, it depends on what I'm going against. Like, if I'm playing against Rocket and I'm playing Web Warriors, I want him gone. Because especially if I've got Venom on there, it's really bad. But if I'm playing with Rocket, let me ask you this, Nate. If you're playing with Rocket, how do you target priority with him? Like, what kind of characters are you going after with that deadly duo and, you know, that big five attack turn?
Yeah, so a lot of the five attacks have to be spread out anyway, but the really nice thing is that all of those, at least the three attacks from the the deadly duo, can all gain him power back from the damage he's dealing. So more times than not, Rocket's probably going to make the power back he spent on the card, which can then mean he lays in with a Hadron Enforcer later. But you really want him to either be chipping in on a big threat, making it so that another one of your heavy hitters, maybe Gamora, is able to go in and finish somebody off really nicely, a little bit more smoothly. Or you just want him targeting down somebody with a lower energy defense, ironically, like Groot or Venom or Crossbones, and that list can kind of go on.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really fair, is targeting these characters that are pretty strong. I think if you see someone over there with a low energy defense, that's a character you want to target. So Venom, obviously, Hawkeye is a good one. If you can get to Hawkeye, get rid of him. And so, yeah, I think that's fair. But let me ask you this, Nate. So Rocket has a built-in free bodyguard with Groot, and do you feel like it's necessary to have Groot with Rocket to make him function?
I think in the Guardians, yes. Mostly because you want that deadly duo turn. They have to be close to each other anyway. You want them to be able to get the most synergy possible. And then to kind of lead you into your next question, I think when you take him outside of the Guardians affiliation, you don't necessarily need to bring Groot because you're not going to be bringing the Deadly Duo card, and you just kind of have a nice two-threat blaster to stay on your background and do work.
Dude, that's exactly it, man. I think that really that's my thought with that as well. And you said my next question was, how do you run him in other affiliations without Groot? And I think that he's still viable there. I think that he doesn't need to have Groot outside of Guardians. I think in Guardians, it makes the most sense. But I also feel like that if you take Groot and Rocket outside of the Guardians affiliation, well, that's five threat. That's a Thor. That's, you know, a Ghost Rider. That's a Doctor Strange that you're not getting that same utility out of for the duration of a match. Like, you're going to get one really strong turn, but overall, you're losing something, I think, when you take them out of affiliation. But taking Rocket by himself, he's a very good harasser in other affiliations, and I really like that.
Completely agree.
So, speaking of affiliations, Nate, what affiliations would you say Rocket fits best into? Let's do top three again.
So once again, we're going to go with the home affiliation. It is a little bit of a given. Then outside of there, because he's not a overly power-hungry character unless you're trying to trigger the booby traps very frequently, I feel like the Black Order can use him pretty effectively. If you have a core of like Thanos with a 1-point gem, Corvus with a reality, and Proxima, that gets you to 15. You throw in Rocket, that's an easy 17 point list that's pretty effective. The other one I really like him in is the Cabal, because he is going to be attacking a lot. He is going to be trying to be getting that extra power back from the damage he's dealing, which just means instead of putting out 5-dice energy attacks, he can put out more 7-dice energy attacks with some nasty little side effects.
I really like that take on the Black Order, actually. Like, that's one that if you're looking at it to try to harass the enemy, soften up the enemy a little bit. You can soften them up with Rocket, then send Corvus in, and then if you get lucky and you're able to KO a character with Rocket, I mean, that's living the dream and getting that victory point there. I mean, I like that take. That's really cool. And I also think that the Cabal take is very good as well, because then he can become a battery for some tactics cards that you want to use, which I really like the idea of that as well. For me, I think the obvious is Guardians. I mean, he is in Guardians affiliation, but it's just like, fits so perfectly within that affiliation, and then layer into that with Groot for that deadly duo. I mean, it's purpose built and it's beautiful. But I think an affiliation that he's sneaky good in is Wakanda. And I understand that like Wakanda wants the moving and the pushing and all that stuff, but what you can do with Rocket in Wakanda, I mean, you've got him, Shuri, that gives you 5, and then you've got Black Panther and Okoye, that's 11, right? So mm-hmm. I liked starting with something like that, and then you throw in, okay, now I'm going to put in Killmonger, there's my 15, and then I can throw in another 2 or 3 threat character as needed to kind of make what I need to make there. And the reason why I like him in Wakanda is because, one, he should have power to benefit from the rerolls that they give. And then he also is a good harasser at range for that team. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really have anybody that does what he does at range. A lot of their stuff is in close. You've got Shuri, who only does 1 damage at range and pushes people around, which is really good. Nobody wants to say that that's not good. But then you put Rocket in there with, 1, the Wakanda leadership, 2, Shuri rerolls, and you've got a character that can probably ramp some good damage. So I like him in Wakanda just a little bit. Like, I don't think it's competitive per se, but I think that that's fun, and I think that at the end of the day, that's what we want to do, is have fun. And then I like him in Avengers because he's cheap, and he getting a discount on booby traps feels better than just using it naturally. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. being able to put him in Avengers, I think, is fun. But again, not necessarily the most high-level thing. Now, let me ask you this, though, Nate, because we kind of glossed over this. So this character always benefits from cover rule, his small stature rule. That doesn't apply to things like Captain America's shield throw, ignores line of sight, that kind of, or ignores line of sight, ignores cover, right?
It does not.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to clarify that, because I know that that was a big thing out there for a while, and there could be people that are just kind of getting into the game right now, and they might see that and say, well, he always benefits from cover. Well, the attack says this character does not benefit from cover. Which one wins? In this case, the attack wins.
So, the attack will win, but there are instances, just because somebody is within range 2, Rocket will still have cover, even though the usual qualifiers for cover require them to be outside of range 2. Rocket has already earned the cover. It's just more so the things that can negate cover that are going to hinder him.
Exactly. And I think that's an important clarification on this character. So, yeah. Overall, Nate, I like Rocket. He's a fun, thematic character. But go ahead with your favorite question.
Yeah. So what about Rocket? Has he gotten better? Has he gotten worse? Or stayed about the same where he's at?
I think he's stayed about the same. And that's because he was already in a pretty good place. Like, he's not a finesse piece, because I think he's kind of is what he is, you know, a ranged turret, right? But I think that he's kind of gone up and down maybe a little bit as we've gone through the releases, but where he is currently is about where he started, in just a character that really fills a specific role. And if you want to play a game of Marvel Crisis Protocol where you essentially have a gun line, you can do that. And I think that Rocket will be a character that will actually benefit from X-Men Blue, now that I think about that, because that's kind of a thing I see in the X-Men Blue, is kind of playing off and just blasting people. So I could see him in the X-Men Blue, and being able to get a Hadron Enforcer off early will feel very good. that will feel very good. So I kind of like all of that. And then, so yeah, I mean, I think he's stayed about the same. I don't think he's gotten worse. I don't think there's anything that's come out that I can say has moved Rocket down, because he still fills a role that no other two-threat character fills. So I don't think he's down, but I don't think he's up either, because there's just a ton of tools to deal with him.
So, that's fair.
So yeah, what do you think?
No, I think about the same. He's stayed the same. There's not a lot of reason to really say that he has dropped in any particular reason. He's still a very solid two-threat character who's able to put out a lot of damage from afar. And so far, all of the two-threat characters have filled very different roles, which make all of them still very viable, and Rocket is no different in that. And there's not really anything that has made him necessarily much stronger. There hasn't been a sudden influx of characters that have two energy defense. We still get them occasionally, looking at Beast as the most recent example. But there's not like an overwhelming, like, oh my goodness, like suddenly Rocket becomes this like meta destroying little raccoon.
Right. I 100% agree with that. So yeah, Nate, I think that wraps it up on Rocket and Groot. What do you think?
I think so. I think that does the tree and the rodent some pretty good justification.
It does. And I just got to say, these are two characters that I think perception is that they're just okay. But I think that these are two characters that in the hands of a competent pilot, they are pretty good. And I now just thought about something that kind of maybe ticks him down just a bit from where he was. I just thought about it. And this is Rocket specifically. The lack of drop-off. Because the Rocket drop-off was very strong. So maybe it's like, you know, the tiniest little tick down is where that, maybe the tiniest tick down for him, but it's not huge.
I'm not going to hold it against him. It's there are some characters like Groot definitely got hurt by it more because of just his lack of mobility. Rocket didn't really need the extra mobility. He's still moving medium, which is the average speed of the game pretty much. So I feel like he's not really hindered mobility-wise, and he's not really a character you wanted to drop off into the front lines. If anything, you're maybe trying to get a cheeky turn one extra attack off, but it's not Vision getting dropped off and getting a beam attack off.
True.
Or anything super crazy. So I drop-off only hurts him as much as every other character in the game, in my opinion.
I got you. That makes sense. That makes sense. So, yeah, two characters that I like that I don't have a ton of reps with, but I've watched a lot of play with them, and it's usually pretty entertaining to watch some good play, some good Rocket and Groot play, and some good Guardians play is really hard. It's really good, and it's really strong a lot of the time. In the last season 3 of the TTS League, I found out just how strong that can really be. And yeah, so with that, Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, you can find me over at the Gamers Guild over on YouTube, just a YouTube channel that does everything from reviews, battle reports, and just some discussion occasionally about the game as a whole.
Awesome, yeah, and make sure to, again, I'll say it again, I know I've said it a million times, but we have the giveaway starting up, and there is a bonus entry for subscribing to Nate's YouTube channel, so go check that out. And while you're over there, check out this sweet Vibranium Heist battle report that he did. He beat the brakes off some poor bastard. And
some poor guy.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, so make sure to check that out. And also send us messages at House Party Protocol Podcast on Facebook Messenger. We really like talking to you guys over there. I really enjoy those interactions. Like, it's fun to just kind of talk about this game and just random stuff. I love it. So make sure to send us messages over there. You can email us at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/houseparty protocol. We are over there, and you know, it's pretty cheap and we have a good time. So yeah, you can come and look at that, and that's how you can get access to our Discord, and we like to talk about fun stuff over there. And real quick, while I'm at it, let me go ahead and give a shout out to some of our patrons, because I really appreciate what these guys bring to us. And without our patrons, we would not be nearly what we are right now. And it just, yeah, it makes me really happy to have these guys out there giving us the business and providing us with a way to give these giveaways away and stuff like that. Like, it means a lot. And it's one of those things where I never thought that someone would actually want me to do this in that way. So, yeah. So, I got to say thank you to Josh Rowe, Brian Schultz, Benjamin Grosek, Russ Lundgren, Jacob Meyer, Carl Walker, Will Thomas, Lexa White. I really appreciate everything that y'all do as part of our Mark V patrons. And for real, it without all of our patrons, we would not be where we are right now doing this sweet giveaway. And like I said, the secret code for today's podcast is Deadly Duo, all caps, one word, just like the spelling on the card, except no spaces. And you can enter that in on our giveaway. And that giveaway, again, is a X-Men versus Brotherhood giveaway. It's all the X-Men and Brotherhood models that are coming out in just a few days, plus the movement templates and range ruler templates from Kago 2, plus an X-Men-themed tray to store those in. So I'm really, really excited to bring that to everyone and bring that to the community. And I look forward to engaging with everyone and having that fun. So, yeah. Party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down suits.